You know that Rabbi Sukenik takes care of our gashmius the entire summer, but you probably also know, I assume you also know, that his real job throughout the year is to take care of our ruchnius, to take care of people's ruchnius, and is a tremendous marbitz Torah, and it's always a covet for us each summer when he agrees to give us a shir. It's always, each summer, really been an outstanding shir, and it's always something that we appreciate very much, especially considering how busy Rabbi Sukenik is here in camp over the summer, that he's willing to take time to be a marbitz Torah for us is very, very much appreciated. Without further ado, Rabbi Sukenik.
Okay. Thank you guys very, very much. Thank you, Rabbi Leibowitz and Mayor, for giving me this opportunity. My heart is in the Beis Medrash, but for some reason, Hashem worked it out that during the summer, my body doesn't get to hang around so much in the Beis Medrash. So this is really, for me, this is my chias for the summer, that I get to learn Torah with you guys every summer for the last few years. I wanted to talk about a topic that I think is always nogea lemaisa, and especially during the time we find ourselves in. The topic is Lashon Hara. It's a very broad topic, and there's a lot to talk about. The reason I chose, again, the Chafetz Chaim writes that the Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The Chafetz Chaim says that was specifically the Avon of Lashon Hara. So it's something that we have to always be focusing on. As I was in the car today, so I had the opportunity to turn on a shir, so I listened to one of Rabbi Leibowitz's 7,000 shirim kein yirbu about Lashon Hara. Not 7,000 shirim about Lashon Hara. That's soon. That's coming soon. But many shirim about Lashon Hara. So I was listening. Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned an idea that it's basically impossible for us in the moment to overcome this idea, the Isser of Lashon Hara. Rabbi Leibowitz stelled to something that also comes up. The way a person speaks, you know, when something happens, somebody falls, words come out of the mouth. And the truth is, whatever is said at that moment when you tripped or whatever happened, you dropped something and you said a word maybe you shouldn't have said, it happens. People drop things, they say things, whatever, it was in the moment. That's not the problem. The problem is, what is your vocabulary for in the moment? What is your go-to vocabulary for what happens when you trip? It's something that we have to train ourselves so when the moment happens, we're saying the right things. So we say Oy Hashem instead of whatever other lashon. So the same thing is true of Lashon Hara. It's something that we have to focus on all the time, and hopefully then in the moment when we're hanging around and the conversation veers somewhere where it shouldn't be, we're ready and it's already on our minds that this is not a place to be. So that's really the goal of my shir tonight, is that it should be in our minds that that there's an Isra of Lashon Hara, and it's something that we have to constantly strengthen ourselves in. I wanted to just focus on a couple of nekudas. We'll go one by one. We'll see how many I can get to. The first one is a fascinating shaila that a couple of the achronim discuss. We find when you learn Chumash, you learn Tanakh, there are a lot of stories in Tanakh which speak negatively about many tzaddikim. We have, in fact, there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, one of the sheish zechiros, to remind ourselves every day. Remember that Hashem punished Miriam. So the Chasam Sofer already asks, and other achronim as well, how could Hashem give us a mitzvah to remind ourselves every day? You should know Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. Remember that. Isn't that itself Lashon Hara? You learn through Navi. You learn of... We bend over backwards to figure out how certain things that David HaMelech did or Shlomo HaMelech did were not Averos. Chazal tells us they weren't Averos, and we have to try to figure out what it is. But Al Pi Pashtus, it seems like the Navi was maybe saying Lashon Hara. The question is, why is that okay? Why is it okay for the Chumash to say it? Why is it okay for the Ribono Shalom Kavi Yochel to say it? So I think the Muskel Rishon, I think our natural inclination is to say Hashem can do whatever he wants. But just right off the bat, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that makes it very clear that that's not true. At the beginning of Yoshua, Sefer Yoshua, so Klal Yisrael defeat, they conquer Yericho, and then they go to a battle against Ai. When they battle against Ai, they lose the battle. So Yoshua is wondering, how did they lose the battle? They were the heavy favorites. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, because there was a cherem, you weren't allowed to take any spoils. One person took spoils. So Yoshua says, okay, who was it? So Hashem says, you think I'm going to tell you Lashon Hara? Go figure it out. Go make a lottery. It's almost ironic, because the lottery was the Ribbono Shel Olam telling him in a backhanded way. But we see already that Hashem wasn't here to say Lashon Hara to Yoshua. He was able to do it another way. He didn't want to do it. So that begs the question, then, why are there so many stories in Tanakh where we do find Lashon Hara? So there's three approaches that I'd like to share with you. Approach number one comes from the altar of Kelm in Chachma Umusar. This is in Simon Shin Mem, if you want to look it up. He mentions a bunch of times. He quotes this Gemara. He says, we see that we don't, in the Tanakh, we don't really want to say Lashon Hara. He quotes a Chazal, he doesn't quote the Mar Makom. He says, V'chein matzinu shatara lo gilsa shem ha'ilan shal eitz hadas. The specific tree that it was, is this a Gemara somewhere? A Medrash maybe? He quotes it as a Maimer Chazal, but the reason is, shalo yizgana ha'ilan be'enei habrios. We don't want people to think poorly of this tree. We don't want to say Lashon Hara about the tree. Yet, we're very open about the fact that it was Adam HaRishon who did the Avera. Why are we not concerned about Adam HaRishon? He mentions the fact that Miriam sinned. He quotes Moshe Rabbeinu with the Mei Meriva, David HaMelech. What is it all about? So the altar from Kelm, his approach is, I guess it's what we would call Begeder Toeles. There's a heter, which for another time, is the heter of speaking Lashon Hara L'Toeles. He says that all of these things are really a zechus for the person they were spoken about. It's a zechus for Miriam, he says. Zechus hula lehislamid mimena. We learn from Miriam that you could be the biggest tzaddikus in the world, but if you speak Lashon Hara, you're going to get tzaras. The isra of Lashon Hara is so chamor that we can't be protected. So Miriam, in a sense, is our mora, our teacher, in Hilchos Lashon Hara. It's not Lashon Hara about her. It's the biggest shvach for her, because she's the one who's teaching it to us. The Torah is supposed to teach us how to live our lives. But the way that the Torah teaches us how to live our lives has to say, we see a story where somebody said Lashon Hara and they got punished. And that's how we learn about it. So that's the zchus for her. He says, Adam HaRishon, how do you know the koach of a Yetzer Hara? We learn it from Adam HaRishon. That's the first time we know about this concept of a Yetzer Hara. Leaving out Rabbi Marcus from last week, the Shmuz, that maybe there is no Yetzer Hara. But at least the altar from Kelm says that there is a Yetzer Hara. So the altar from Kelm's approach is, again, every time the Torah does it, it's only if they have to do it. If the Ribbono Shel Olam has to do it, he does it in a way that we're going to learn our lesson. And if it could be avoided, like the tree of the Eitz Hadas or the story of Achan, then of course Hashem avoids it. But if it's there necessary to teach us a halacha that we need to lead our lives, then it's acceptable for the Torah to do so. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Perish on Chumash, says that a Talmud asked him this question. How is it that all the stories of Yosef and his brothers, by Ave Yosef es dibasam rol aviyem, Chazal tell us about things that they were doing, Marisayin, not Marisayin, was it Eber Menachai, not Eber Menachai? So the Talmud asked Rabbi Yaakov, why is the Torah allowed to talk Gennai about Shiftei Ka, about Yosef HaTzadik? So Rabbi Yaakov gets into a whole Indian, whether they had a din, there was a din rodef involved, and it was really Hatzalos Nefashos. But the first thing he says, it's not a question. He says a chiddush, which we never would have thought about. But he says there's no makor that the isser of Lashon Hara applies to somebody who's no longer alive. The Gemara in Brachos, he's not mitzayin to this Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos, I think Daf Yotes, says that the Gemara over there is talking about after people die, whether they know things or don't know things. The Gemara says if you speak about somebody after they're no longer alive, it's like speaking about a rock. It's meaningless. So Rabbi Yaakov says the only makor we have is a halach in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yom Kippur. Tuf Reish Vav Sif Gimel Takanas Kadmoneinu V'Cheirem. There's an earlier takana and a cheirem Shalo Lahotzi Shemra Al HaMesim, to not be motzi Shemra. Rabbi Yaakov says Me'ikra Adin, as long as it's true, there's no problem. So whenever the Torah says something, obviously it's 100% true. So you're never going to run into a problem of Lashon Hara because everybody is no longer alive. Let's leave out Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis, but the Gemara says that Yaakov never died. You have to understand that. But Bepashtus, when we learn a pasuk in Chumash, we're learning about people who are no longer alive, and that would be mutter according to Rabbi Yaakov. The third answer, which is to me was a huge chiddush and a game changer in Hilchos Lashon Hara. You know, I guess when you're younger, you know, I don't know, you would say something, and somebody says, shh, no, that's Lashon Hara. And you say, no, but it's true, right? So they used to, I don't know, the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation used to put out these charts, and the first rule on the chart was, it's Lashon Hara, even if it's true. Okay, so Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in his Kovetz Mamorim, I think it's page Nun Aleph. The title is Hafloga Bishvach Chavero. I don't have a... I think it's page Nun Aleph in the new black, fancier editions. He says a chiddush. I'll just summarize the chiddush. He really pulls it out from the Chafetz Chaim, from the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, but he says, in reality, if it's true, it's not really Lashon Hara. If it's true, it's mutter. But here's the problem. I'll quote the words of the Chafetz Chaim. The Hada Asr Mishum Lashon Hara Afilo Hamaisa Emes. Why is it a problem to speak Lashon Hara if it's true? Humitam She'efshe Shalo Yeda Chomer Ha'iser. O Shahaya Shoge Gomer Oshema Asa Tshuva. Just to put it in different words. When you say Lashon Hara about somebody, you're painting a picture. But as human beings, when we're assessing the situation, we're never painting a picture that's 100% correct. If you say, oh, so-and-so slept through Shacharis, even if he slept through Shacharis, and even if somebody tried to wake him up three times, maybe he doesn't understand how Chashuv Shacharis is. But when I tell you that, it doesn't come across. You think, he's a bum, he doesn't wake up for Shacharis. But it's not really true. If he really understood and appreciated what it means to be able to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel'olam and talk to the Ribbono Shel'olam in private audience with Hashem, so of course he would wake up. But he doesn't understand it. So we can't say he's 100% guilty. Maybe 95%, maybe 90%, again, depending on the situation. But we're painting a picture that's not 100%. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Chanan. It's a huge chiddush. If it was really, really 100% MS, it would be mutter. Just human beings we don't have the capability of portraying something with 100% accuracy because there's so many layers in a human being that we could never get to the exact nekuda of how good or bad the maisa was. But if we bring it back to our shaila, when the Torah is talking about a maisa, the Torah could be 100% sure about how bad or good the kavana was. So when the Torah writes it, the Torah has the authority to say with 100% certainty that this is what happened, and memela would be mutter. That really, it's a big chiddush. That really lashon hara. If it's true, it's mutter. It's just that as human beings, we don't have the ability to say that it's really true. Okay,
is that the interpretation of the listener, the imperfection of the interpretation of the listener, and your understanding as the teller? Is the Torah perfectly portrayed, but I may misunderstand it?
It has to be. It has to be from the speaker. Because if it wasn't from the speaker... Well, no. According to this teretz, it would have to be from the speaker. Because if it's only from the... If I butcher pshat in the pasuk, if that's a problem.
So that which the Torah said is still going to cause me to have a lower view of the person than...
That's my misunderstanding. I think you mentioned on... that shiur that I was listening to, that one of the Tanaim of Toeles was, you're allowed to say it. You had asked Rabbi, you had interviewed Rabbi Willie on a Motzei Shabbos maybe, and in that specific situation that he was referring to, he said, you have to say it the way it is, and if somebody's going to post it on Facebook, and it's going to, that's it. But from your end, you did, okay, I would think, at least according to this Mahalach, that the Chafetz Chaim himself says, and Rabbi Chanan quotes, the Hada Asa Mishum Loshanar Filo Maisa Emes, the person himself didn't know the Chomer Isser, and Chafetz Chaim quotes the Mishnah Yuma about the Ve'ilu Niskarim Laganai. We have also at the end of Sukkah the Bilga, base Bilga, that the woman who stepped on the Mizbeach over there, we do mention Laganai. So when the Torah does it, Torah Shabbat Peh, Torah Shabbat Chsav, it's because it's Yadua that it's Emes. Okay, that's the Kuda number one. The Kuda number two, something that I was fascinated by as a Rebbe, is Reb Moshe has a tshuva about what happens if somebody did something in class. And the Rebbe's trying to figure out who did it. So Reb Moshe's tshuva... So he was asked a couple of different shilas binyanei chinuch, and Reb Moshe's tshuva. This is in Yerodei, I think it's Chelek Beis Simon Kuf Gimel. So in that tshuva, he has a paragraph. He says, "Hu davar mechur lasos came to ask talmidim." The question was, "Are you allowed to ask talmidim, guys? Somebody wrote on the blackboard or smartboard or whatever they. Somebody did something they weren't supposed to do. Somebody put a whoopee cushion on the Rebbe's chair." Okay, that was 25 years ago. That's what they would do. Okay, so if the shaila is, are you allowed to ask the talmidim if anybody knows who it is? Please come forward, because you know, this wasn't proper. I need to speak to the talmid and I need to make sure that he understands what he did was wrong. So Reb Moshe says to ask them to tattle on each other is davar mechur lasos kain. Dizei yigrom sheyakilu b'lashon hara. Okay. That's Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe felt very strongly that it's completely out of bounds to do such a thing. So I saw two, I guess, later tshuvas. I saw Rav Sternbach write I actually just saw it about a minute ago. Rav Sternbach is in Tshuvas van Hagos, which we have over here. Chelek Aleph, Simin, Tuf, Lamed, Tes. I grew up in Rabbi Sachs' shul. Rabbi Sachs spoke on Friday. I grew up in a shul, and I was in a shir for 4 years, so I have to give every exact marmakom if I have it. Otherwise, like, it's not really a shir. That's what I was trained. So if you want to look it up, it's Tuf Lamites. And Rav Asher Weiss has in the Minchas Asher on Parshas Kedoshim, he has a piece about Lashon Hara. So he writes, they both disagree. In their own Lashonos, they say that they disagree with Rav Moshe on this issue. I would say, I don't know that we're forced to say that it's really a machlokas. It's a davar mechur. I think Rav Asher Weiss's Lashon is, it depends on the age of the child. This is something you mentioned also. It's very hard with kids. It's hard to explain to a third grader that I'm going to ask you to say Lashon Hara, but you, don't try this at home. It's very hard for them to understand. I saw the adult do it. I saw the Rebbe do it. It's hard to be machalik. But in a second. But he says if the Talmidim are older and they can understand that there's a toelas here. In fact, Rav Sternbach also, he says it's perhaps a teaching moment. The Chafetz Chaim says if there's a toelas, there are seven tanayim, whatever it is, you could put them on the board. You could teach them to the Talmidim. So if anybody knows, you know, please come and tell me. So I'm not 100% sure that this is really a machlokes. They're both getting at the same nakuda. Obviously, I don't think Rav Sternbach or Rasha Weiss would tell you that a first grader can handle this. I don't know what age students Rav Moshe was talking about. Rav Moshe's point is definitely, you know, very well taken, that you have to be very careful with making impressions on students. At the same time, there could be an opportunity, a learning opportunity, if the Rebbe feels that the Talmidim can handle it, it could be a moment to a teaching moment. Yeah. So, again, I can't speak for any of them, but I would think that it's not really such a machlokas. I think it's more, it's going to depend on the situation. I would say almost, I mean, there are very few chinuch shailas that are really have clear-cut answers. I think, you know, from where to send your kids to school, how to deal with them in this specific inyan and that inyan, it's always going to depend on the kid. There's very few things, and they shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. I would say that's clear-cut. But really, it's complicated. You have to have a Rebbe, you have to have a Rav that you can discuss these issues with. Somebody that knows your family, knows your children, knows where you're coming from. There's nothing easy about it. It's something to keep in mind. But as Rav Moshe says, it's a davar machor. You're going to teach them the wrong thing. Again, lefiha inyan. It's could be taken the wrong way. That is nekuda number two. Nekuda number three is a story. A story that you might be familiar with. It's just to put the story in perspective. The story took place before YouTube posted a video of the Chafetz Chaim. So there was a fellow that was traveling on a train to Radin with the Chafetz Chaim. And this was before YouTube, and before, I guess, there were so many Gedolim pictures on the walls. And he sees he's coming to Radin, and he sees there's an Erlicha-looking Yid sitting next to him. So he says, excuse me, you know, we're going to Radin. Do you know where the Chafetz Chaim lives? So he's talking to the Chafetz Chaim, but he doesn't realize. So the Chafetz Chaim says, why do you want to know? And he says, well, I'm going to get a bracha, whatever, it's an issue, and go get a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. He's a Kohen, he's the Gadol Ador. So the Chafetz Chaim, okay, different versions of how the story goes, but basically, the Chafetz Chaim is reported to have said, I don't know if you really need to get a bracha from him, I know him well, he's not as big of a tzaddik as they say he is. Okay. So, long story short, the man gives him a zetz. How could you say that about the Gadol Ador? Patch. Okay. That night he gets off the train, he goes to Maariv, he asks, can you tell me where the Chafetz Chaim is? They show him where the Chafetz Chaim is. And whether he fainted, he didn't faint, he was clearly, it was clearly a humbling experience. If it happened, it was clearly a humbling experience. we'll get to that in a moment. I see. Okay. So he goes to the Chafetz Chaim, he asks Mechila, and the Chafetz Chaim says, no, this was my fault. I see, you're not supposed to say Lashon Hara about yourself. That's the story, as it's told. There are doubters. There are, some of the Sfarim say that, I heard from Rabbi Saul Reisman, that he said, he was convinced that the story is not true. Because it didn't happen so long ago, and there were so many different versions of the story, it's hard to imagine that it really happened. I mean, really, the guy didn't know who the Chafetz Chaim was. He slapped the guy in the face. Like, he said, it can't be. There's a halachic reason why it couldn't be. The halachic reason why it couldn't be is because the Chafetz Chaim himself writes that you're allowed to say Lashon Hara about yourself. He brings a raya from a medrash. The medrash quotes that Yishayo Anovi, the Lashon here, or not. The Medrash says that Yishayahu Navi said, I forgot the Lashon, he says about himself, that he is, he says something negative about himself and about Klal Yisrael, and the Medrash adds on that Hashem says back to him, you could say something negative about yourself, but don't speak about my people. And the Chafetz Chaim brings this as a raya that there's no isser in saying Lashon Hara about yourself. So the kasha is, so then, how, if this story is true, how could it be? So Rabbi Reisman came to his Rebbe Rav Pam, and he said, Rebbe, I don't think the story happened. But apparently Rav Pam did think the story happened. So he said, so if it happened, so how are we miyashiv the fact that the Chafetz Chaim wrote in the Sefer that you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about yourself, and at the same time, he learned from this story that that you're not allowed to. So, very pashut, it could be that the Sefer was written before the story happened, if it happened. In other words, he wrote it in the Sefer, you're allowed to speak about yourself, and he learned from this story that even though he did it, it's not a great idea. So one of the versions of the story is that that's what he said. Even though I wrote it in the Sefer, as I mentioned, a bunch of different versions. One version is he said, even though I wrote in my Sefer, you're allowed to, I see from the fact that you slapped me, I learned a new halacha that I was wrong. That should have been. That's the easiest answer. Rav Pam's answer was that sometimes we find a heter to speak Lashon Hara. He said it's still a bad idea. Even when it's mutter to speak Lashon Hara, again, unless it's a toeles. When it's toeles, it's not just that you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara, it's that you have to speak Lashon Hara. That's if there's somebody in danger, or there's somebody that's going to be cheated out of money, and there's a toeles, it's not just a heter, it's a responsibility to speak to the person, and it's not considered Lashon Hara. But Rapam said, it's not a good idea. So even though you're speaking about yourself, it's not necessarily a great idea to say Lashon Hara, even though it could technically be mutter. I thought that there's one other chiluk between the two stories, between the halacha and the stories. The way the halacha is presented is you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about yourself. The way the story was presented was a little bit different, in the sense that he was saying it about himself, but the person that he was talking to didn't know that he was talking about himself. So, since in the halacha of Lashon Hara, by definition, there's an iser to say Lashon Hara, there's also an iser to be makabel Lashon Hara. So, it's a two-way street, Lashon Hara. So, if I'm going to say Lashon Hara about a person, and I know in my head that it's really myself, but the other guy doesn't know that it's me, the other guy thinks I'm speaking about a third party. If I'm speaking about a third party, so who says that I'm being machshil the other guy? So, in the story when he got slapped, the person thought he was talking about the Chafetz Chaim, not himself. When the Chafetz Chaim quotes the halacha, it's a person speaking about himself. So if somebody says, oh, you're such a great basketball player, and say, nah, I'm really not. I'm telling you I'm not such a good shooter. Okay, so that's about yourself. The person knows that you're talking about yourself. The person doesn't know that you're talking about yourself. Maybe that would be different anyway. Maybe it's not the same halacha. I saw that in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter brings down B'Shem the Rav. He didn't even think that this was such a machudistic story. He said, it's for sure Maariv Zayin, at least Maariv Zayin. Again, it could be what we were saying, could be that's what he meant, but he thinks you're saying Lashon Hara, so then even though it's about yourself, who says that that there's a heter to do it? So he says, the Chafetz Chaim thought it was a big chiddush. He thought that was Pasha Pshat, that the person thought you were speaking Lashon Hara about the Gadol Ador. So that shouldn't be mutter. Halacha lemaisa, speaking Lashon Hara about yourself, there are all the likutim, different likutim. They came out with the Chafetz Chaim writes that you're allowed to say Lashon Hara about yourself. Reb Nissim Karelitz, they have they have these black svarim called Chut Shani, the Shurim of Reb Nissim Karelitz. He's the nephew of the Chazon Ish and the Posek in Bnei Brak. So they have one of the svarim has a section about Hilchos Lashon Hara. He says there that it's mutter to speak Lashon Hara about yourself. One of the later, recently, the Rabbi Tendler started putting out these Mesoros Moshe, which are Pesukim Mipi Hashmua. In there, he quotes Mipi Hashmua that you shouldn't, a person, it's also to say Lashon Hara about yourself. Again, Yesh V'Yesh. Like Rapam said, it's probably not a great idea anyway. Okay, it's not a good thing to be Rogil. The next Nakuda, I'll say this, I don't know if we're going to get to anything else, The next nekuda is also sort of a story, and perhaps well known, perhaps you're familiar with it. When a person speaks lashon hara, so you've done an aveira. I'm going to say bein adam lamakom and bein adam lechaveiro. Rabbi Leibowitz has a shir. He goes into the bein adam laatzmo aspect of it. But okay, let's assume for sure that there's the Chafetz Chaim mentions in I think it's Klal Dalet Sif Yud Beis. V'mavar v'siper lashon hara al chaveru balasos shuva. So the Chafetz Chaim says the following: if a person said lashon hara on his friend and he wants to do tshuva, talui bazeh. Im hashom im dachu es devarer v'lon es gana chaveru adeza klal beinehem. If I told you guys that so and so was a bad person and you said, what are you talking about? He's the best guy around. So then they weren't makabel what I said. Im kein lo nishar alav ki im ha'avon de bein adam lamakom. The only thing left is the aver bein adam lamakom. Dehainu she'avar al ratzon Hashem. She'tziva al zeh kamo she'kasam no le'el b'psicha. That Hashem doesn't want us to speak lashon hara. You spoke lashon hara. You did an aver bein adam lamakom. Tikuno she'yischaret al she'avar v'yisvada v'yikabal atzma b'liv sholem ala haba. A regular tshuva process. Shelo lasos kein kamo b'chol avon or she'bein adam lamakom. It's a regular tshuva. Vidoi charota kabal ala asid. If the people listened, they took it to heart, and it caused him a hezek begufo b'mamono, caused him pain. It becomes a ben adam lachavero avera. Shafilu yom akipur v'yom amisa in mechaper at shiratzes chavero. Al kein tzarich levakesh mechila mechaver alze. You have to ask mechila. And then the clincher, the Chafetz Chaim writes, his friend doesn't even know that he spoke lashon hara about him. He has to go over and say, I spoke lashon hara about you. And I was wrong. Now, in the Ber Mayim Chaim, which is his footnotes at the bottom, the Chafetz Chaim brings as a Mar Makom the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva in Os Reish Zayin, Im Yoshev Bal Haloshon B'Tshuva Tzarech Levakesh Mechila L'Asher Mutzak Lo Mizam L'Shono. The person wants to do Tshuva for Lashon Hara, he has to be Mevakesh Mechila. So the Maisa goes that he came with his Sefer to Rabbi Saul Salanter to get a Haskama. Get us going for a sefer. Yisrael kept the sefer for a little bit. He comes back, and Yisrael's response was, "I see that you wrote. A person doesn't have speaks lashon hara about somebody. They have to ask mechila." So he says. So Yisrael Salanter said, "How can you? Because you want to do tshuva, you can hurt the other person. What about onos devarim? The guy doesn't know that you spoke lashon hara about him. He thinks you're his friend. So how could you do that to him? What heter do you have?" To basically step on him so that you can have a better Yom Kippur, a better Gemar Din. That was Rishol Salanter's kasha. Now, the Maisa goes that the Chafetz Chaim's response was, "I hear, but the Maisa it's a Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says you have to ask Mechila." It gets a little more complicated because the let me read the words of the Shulchan Aruch. The words of the Shulchan Aruch are. Not even in the Sif. We quoted earlier Simin Taf Reish Vav. The title of Simin Taf Reish Vav, Sheifayis Adam Chaveru Be'erev Yom HaKippurim. A person has to ask Mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. Before Sif Aleph, the Magen Avram writes, B'shas Mechila Tzarech Lefarit HaChet Shechata LaChaveru. When you ask Mechila, you have to explain what you did. V'nira Li, De'im Chaveru Mezbayesh Bazeh, Lo Yifrod Oso. If your friend is misbayish, if he's going to be embarrassed, you shouldn't outline what exactly he said. That's the Magen Avraham. So all's well because the Talmidei the Talmidei Rabbi Saul Salanter, they quote that Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam wrote a letter to Rabbi Itzel Petterberger, who were both Talmidei Rabbi Saul Salanter, And he said, this shita of our Rebbe, that you're not allowed to ask mechila, it's a magin Avram. If you're going to embarrass the person, if you're going to hurt the person, you're not allowed to ask them mechila. That's the machlokas to Rabbi Sosa Lanter and the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim seems to have the Shari Tshuva Rabbi Yonah on his side, and Rabbi Sosa Lanter seems to have the magin Avram on his side. You have to answer up for each. We'll hold off for a moment. The tricky part is that the Mishnah Brura quotes the Magen Avraham. That's where it gets a little tricky. Because the Mishnah Brura writes in Tav Reish Vav, Sif Gimel, he basically quotes word for word. U'b'shas b'koshas mechila, tzarech lefarit ma shechata l'chavero. Im lo k'shi yodeh, shechavero yishbayish mizeh, k'shi yifarit hachet, azay lo yifarit also. If you're going to hurt the person's feelings, then you can't be mefarit. So now we're stuck. Because the Chafetz Chaim said in his Sefer, you have to ask Mechila, otherwise you don't get Kapara. And Mochelin Lo. There's no Mechila until Yom Kippur doesn't help. Misa, nothing helps. It's Ben Adam L'Chavero. At the same time, he quotes in the Mishnah Brura, he quotes that if he's going to be embarrassed, he quotes in Magen Avram, that you're not allowed to ask Mechila. So for starters, good. There's a slight difference, perhaps slight, between Rabbi Sosa Lanter and the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is saying you should approach him, but not be mefarit specifics. Perhaps that's the difference between, in other words, the Chafetz Chaim's mode. Chafetz Chaim says you have to approach him and say, I did something wrong, but you don't have to say what. That's a little tricky, because you're going to walk over to somebody and say, I did something wrong, please be mochali. The person might say, no problem. What? You know, the person might say, I didn't know about this, tell me more. Okay, so let's hold off. So, we're a little bit stuck for ourselves. If a person spoke Lashon Hara, so what do you do? How do you get out of this? It's a real issue. It's a real issue for us. You have to ask Mechila, but you can't ask Mechila. So the way the Rav Nissim Karelitz teaches it is not really helpful, but he says, it can't be that the Chafetz Chaim was cholek on Rabbi Sosa Lanter. Can't be that the Chafetz Chaim, we always think of the Chafetz Chaim as the Avas Chesed, as the, you know, it can't be that the Chafetz Chaim would tell you, go over, embarrass the person, make him feel bad, but don't worry, you'll have a kapara. No, Rabbi Nissim Karelitz says, Chafetz Chaim's telling you, you're stuck. So that's what happens when you speak Lashon Hara. You go talk to somebody, you speak about somebody, you're putting your life in peril. You might be in a catch-22 that you can't get out of. He says, the Chafetz Chaim would tell you, don't ask Mechila, but don't expect to be Nimchal. I mean, that's the way it is. That's Rav Nissim Karelitz. He says, Chafetz Chaim B'Yisod agrees to Rabbi Sosa Salanter, and you're stuck. Rav Asher Weiss, in that piece in Parshas Kedoshim, he points out that he doesn't think that it's as big of an issue as it sounds. Why? He says, practically speaking, people speak Lashon Hara a lot, unfortunately, but most of the time, it doesn't really cause hezek begufo b'mamono. In other words, if I'm speaking about a caterer, about a pizza shop, and I say, the pizza shop is no good. So yeah, if you chose not to go to that pizza shop, I caused them a hezek b'mamon. But if we're just talking, it's very possible that you didn't cause anybody a hezek, and there's no bein adam l'chavero avero, according to the Chafetz Chaim. He says, and if there is, chances are, when the person got hurt, that he knows about it. And if he knows about it, then the issue doesn't exist. Because if I know that Yankel spoke Lashon Hara about me, and that's why my business went down, adarava, I'm waiting for Yankel to show up and ask Mechila. It's not that Yankel's going to make me feel bad. No, I know Yankel did it. I had to ask, I had to find out, whatever it was, maybe I shouldn't have asked, but I want to find out, why is my business not working out? And somebody says, oh, you didn't hear. Oh, you know what so-and-so posted on Facebook? They told you that, they said that your pizza's no good, that your cheese was moldy. So, that's why nobody's coming to your pizza shop anymore. So if that happens, you get to the root of it, and you know who it is. So, Rav Asher Weiss says that it's only really a shaila when it's hezek begufo b'mamono, and most of the time when it's hezek begufo b'mamono, the person probably realizes what it is. So he's not really helping us, but he's just pointing out that this is not so matzoi. that a person has to ask mechila because you were mazik beguf or b'mamon, and at the same time, you're going to hurt their feelings. If you were mazik beguf or b'mamon, they probably figured out that it was you, and they're waiting for you to come talk to them. And if you weren't mazik beguf or b'mamon, you don't have to ask mechila, you only have to do regular tshuva. But I think my favorite solution, Rav Sternbach in Moedim Uzmanim, gives a gewaldige solution. He says like this: the title of the siman was Tafresh Vav Sheifayis Adam Chaveru BeErev Yom Kippurim. Person should ask mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah Berurah already earlier Achronim, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes Erev Yom Kippur. If I punch you in the face today, I should wait until Erev Yom Kippur to ask mechila right away. Get it out of the way. So the Mishnah Berurah says no. It means if you forgot or the guy was very upset at you, so you were nervous to ask mechila. So let's wait a few weeks. Erev Yom Kippur, I'll call him up. Say, remember that time or whatever it is. If anything happened, if I did anything to you, please be mochel me. And that's why it's become a kibbul that everybody asks mechila. Al tzad hayoser tov. Just to cover my bases, I'm going to ask mechila. So Rav Sternbach says, you know why there's a special din, an inyan of asking mechila on Erev Yom Kippur? Because on Erev Yom Kippur, you can go to somebody and say, if I did anything to you the whole year, please be mochel me. This way, he says, it's a beautiful etza. Because the person doesn't feel bad. Because the person, in your mind, you know, I spoke Lashon Hara about him. But I can't go to him and tell him I spoke Lashon Hara. So if I come to you in the middle of February and I say, if I ever did anything wrong, please be mochel me, why are you asking me in the middle of February? What did you do to me? What did you say about me? But if you come on Erev Yom Kippur, the person says, of course I'm mochel you. No problem. And in your mind, you know that you spoke Lashon Hara. So this way he's mochel you b'lev shalem, and at the same time, you don't have to hurt his feelings that you spoke Lashon Hara about him. That's his eitzah. That's why he says, maybe that's why the minig is mekubal to ask on Erev Yom Kippur. Yeah?
Can you only ask a general mechila if you don't know the specific issue that you
have? So I think he's saying that, first of all, in Ben Adam Lamakom, that's for sure true, that we say general. We have all the viduis with the Hashamnus and the Al-Khaits are general, and if we have specifics that we know we did, we should ask mechila. But I think certainly, to avoid this issue, you'd be allowed to do it. In other words, we're stuck. You can't hurt the person's feelings, so you can't be mefarit the chait. So what do? So the Eitzah he says is, if you say, anything that I did this year, please be mochel me, in your mind, you know you're talking about that time that you said Lashon Hara about him, and you were mazikim, and you need to ask Lashon Hara, but you can't say it. So the Eitzah is, you ask a general mechila, which you can only get away with on Erev Yom Kippur. And that's the same question. Okay, so that's Rav Sternbach's Eitzah. But halavai it should be that if we keep these halachas in mind, we shouldn't have to have these shailas, and we shouldn't have to... It's not an easy thing. Lashon Hara is not something that anybody could really be fully free from, but it's something that we have to work on. And I was just thinking in the mashal that during this time that there's a father in the room and two of his sons are fighting, and they're trying to figure out, they're going to go to a trip, but they can't decide what the trip should be, and the two boys are fighting, and the father gets fed up and he says, if you guys are going to keep fighting, I'm leaving, call me back when you can get along. And that's kaviyachol what's happening with us. The Chazal are very clear that Benadam Lachavero is the reason for the Galus. We're all brothers, we're all children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, as long as you guys are fighting, I'm going to step out. And I'll come back, my Shekhinah will come back, when you can get along. So it's something that should always be on our minds, and something that Be'ezer Hashem we should be zochet to, that through learning these halachos and working on Benadam Lachavero, Avinu Shel Bashamayim should come back, and we should have the Beis HaMikdash. Once again, thank you very, very much for the opportunity. Thank
you.
S-U-K-E-N-I-K. Thank you very much for the opportunity.